Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
This morning, I've got a question for you. Are you a slave? Are you a slave? I've got a charming 8-year-old son that you just saw a second ago, and I'll say it now that he's out of the room. And I remember this moment. He grumpily walks up to me, says, "Dad, I'm not your slave, you know." I'm sure most of us parents have had that at some point, where the child thinks they're so unfairly done by the fact they've got to take the dishes out of a dishwasher. I mean, come on, I didn't have that type of stuff when I grew up. I had to hand wash them with no shoes on, out in the cold, through the trenching, through the snow. But there was so much conviction in my son as he walked up to me, and bless his 8-year-old heart, that I was treating him like a slave. Hard done by. Hard done by. I could picture in history where moments, sometimes ladies would feel like they're a slave to their husbands, but we don't do that, do we, guys? And if I think about the word slave, it doesn't quite fit in our Western culture. We're very fortunate where we've got some flexibility. I was not born into a family that was a slave to another family, so I'm not owned by anybody else. So in our Western society, when we think about the word slave, it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. We're very fortunate in Australia. As far as I'm aware, we don't have slave labour, although some probably feel like they are. We don't have slave labour. But nevertheless, I do feel like in Western society, we suffer from behaving like slaves. I think back a number of years ago, just newly married, lived with mum and dad, and they had done at that stage of their life, they went through this nice little blip of success. When I moved out, I felt the pressure to keep up with the house, the car, everything, my friends. I started stretching myself financially, you know, wanted my Dodge Nitro, which you all heard about a couple of weeks ago. And I got myself to a point financially where I felt so stretched that all of a sudden I felt like I was a slave to earning more money. I just had to, I had to get that next bonus, I had to get that next pay rise because I needed it to fulfill what it was I was working for in life. I stretched my finances too far to the point where and I'm a big believer of tithing, where a point where we got to a point where I couldn't tithe anymore. Not because of choice, but because I had made some bad financial decisions. I started to become a slave to my money, to the debt, to the image that I created for myself. I became a slave to trying to keep up with those around me. I remember looking at people similar age to me, going, "Oh man, he's got a motorbike. That's not fair. I want a motorbike too." I remember looking at people's houses and going, "Oh my goodness, if I could just have a house like that." I remember thinking, "A pool. Yep, a pool. A pool would be awesome. I want a pool." That was never going to happen anyway because I married Naomi, but I wanted a pool. I had this image in my mind that would be what would make me a pool. I wanted a 2-story house. I had a little cottage at that point, but a two-story cottage. But I wanted a proper big two-story house, because that, in my mind, had this identity with where I wanted to go. I'd moved out of my mum and dad's. They had quite a substantially big, large two-story house. And, I mean, I didn't have the seven kids they had, but I wanted that image associated with me. And so I got to a point as a young adult where I became a slave trying to achieve this. And it's a vicious cycle, a terribly vicious cycle. So although we don't have slaves today here in our Western society, I don't think this terminology of slaves is still relevant to us today. If I think about Paul, one of our heroes of our faith, in Romans 1, verse 1, how does he introduce himself? He introduces himself as he's a slave to Christ. Romans 1, 1, a slave to Christ. What does that mean, a slave to Christ? Quite often in the Bible, they talk about slaves and servants, being a servant to Christ or a slave to Christ. I was looking into the translation of the word that goes to slave or to servant, and it was interesting that the word is very, very similar, and quite often even those two words in translation get muddled up. Thus, when you're reading the Bible in different translations, some will say slave, some will say servant. So what is the difference between a slave and a servant? Or just being a son in my son's case. A servant works for their master and then they go home. The master does not own a servant. They pay them for their work, but a slave has no pay. They have no rights. They are not their own. However, a slave frequently becomes part of the family, and a slave doesn't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, and they don't have to worry about where they'll sleep at night, and they don't have to worry about how much the rent is or the house bills. That's because they are more than slaves. They become part of a family. Such was the relationship between most of the slaves and masters in the first century. A servant doesn't know his master's will like a slave who lives with him. Slaves were more than just property. Rather, in many instances, they were considered very much a part of the family. And that's part of the reason I think we should be slaves to Christ and simply just not servants of God. I'd like to turn to our Bibles to Romans chapter 6, 12 to 23. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, what does that mean? Does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you have given yourselves to be slaves of righteousness, living so that you'll become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom, but now you're free from the power of sin and you've become slaves of God. Now you do things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I think it'd be a great point right now as we've read the scripture. I should have opened with prayer, but I think we should pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you today that we can go through your scripture. Father God, I just pray that you help me share this morning, Lord, that your word will be your word, Father God, and it'll go deep into our hearts, Lord, and this morning may we be set free from the chains that hold us back, Lord, and learn how we can have the freedom in being a slave to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, don't let our sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Such a simple thing to say, but oh my goodness, how often I've fallen short of this one. Do not let sin control the way you live. You know, the funny thing is about sin is that afterwards you do it and you realize the enemy, Satan, he has a day filled and he tries to make you feel guilty. He tries to keep you there in that place. And says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil and serve sin. See, Paul here is talking to us Christians. He's not talking to non-believers yet. He's talking to people that are already saved. And so the very part of that, I think to myself, is first of all, we need to make that decision to not sin. It seems simple, but I think it is needs to be a daily decision to continually embark on it. So post the radical gift of forgiveness and salvation and grace, sinful desires still can come back into our lives if we let it. But Paul here is telling us is not to let our body become a part of an instrument, let any part of our body become an instrument to sin. And I think it's interesting there in this point here that I think the interesting point here in any part of your body is that sin is sneaky. It can really come in at any part. I think to myself is that sometimes unless you sit there and think about things, a week later you can think to yourself, oh, I've really dropped my game here with this. And unless you reflect on that, it can sneak its way back in. 1 Peter 2:6 says, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for all evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Bond slaves is referring to the word of, I choose to be a slave. So when a slave or a servant got to the end or the point of their freedom after a certain period of time, they could decide to stay with their master. So basically from that point there, he's saying, choose to be a slave to Christ. In the next verse it says, instead give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you're new to life. Completely is completely, all of you. Not one part, not part of your life, not Sundays, not Mondays, completely all of you. Not a little bit, but completely. See, Paul's reminding us here that we once were dead to sin, but now we're alive through him. We were dead, but now we have new life. You know, I think about myself is how often when you've gone through something bad, shortly after through the mourning process, bizarrely, you forget how bad it was. Has anyone ever had that? It's an odd, bizarre thing. It's like your mind's trying to rationalize, going, surely it wasn't that bad. But you forget so quickly. And I think this point here, when we think about being dead to sin, we once were dead, but now we're alive, I go, do you know what? That place before Christ, I was not okay. When I was living my life for myself, I was not okay. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I need to remember that. Our mind can lie to us and make us think a little bit is okay. But no, Paul here is reminding us that under sin we were dead and we were destined for hell. But through Christ, we now have that freedom of a new life where we don't need to go back there. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that the Lord will receive the reward of our, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is Lord Christ whom you serve. It is an inheritance to serve Christ. The next part of the verse goes on and says, so you use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Again, we come across that word whole, completely, 100% sold out for Christ. It reminds me of the scripture whether your heart or cold in Revelations, where it talks about if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. For me, there came a point in my walk with God where I had to either decide to go, do you know what? I'm in this 100% or I'm not in it. Eventually, one thing is going to happen. One is going to win. You need to be hot. Need to be hot or cold. God doesn't want 50% of us. He doesn't want 70% of us. He doesn't just want 90% of us. He wants 100% of us. You know, and the thing is, who would you prefer to serve? 100% the broken you, or 100% of the God that created the universe? I mean, I don't know about you, which one's more exciting? The one that actually knows what you were made for and the potential you have? Or the one that goes, I'm broken, I don't know where I am, I keep stuffing up, I'm not happy with my life, I feel like I can't keep up? I know who I'd like to give 100% to. Verse 24 says, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. See, we're no longer under the old covenant of the Old Testament, where they had to do sacrifices continually to get that redemption. But no, Jesus was the whole, complete sacrifice for us that gave us that grace and gave us that freedom so that we can actually have freedom from our sin. See, there's freedom through grace. It's this weird thing of we're a slave to Christ. And I think of slaves, I think of shackles, I think of the Mary, Mary song with the shackles on my feet. But it's this paradox between slavery and freedom. But in Christ, there's ultimate grace, there's ultimate slavery, and there's ultimate freedom. It all works together. Verse 15 then says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. It seems simple, but it's here black and white. Unfortunately, in our society where it's all about me and my pleasure, my agenda, what I want to do, I kind of feel like this is the bit where you go, well, you want the salvation, but I want to continue living my way. It doesn't go together. Just because we have grace, it doesn't mean that we can keep on sinning. In fact, Christ wants us to break free from the cycle of sin. It goes on to say, don't you realize that you became the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You decide who you're going to be a slave to. And you know, the thing is, if you don't make a decision about who you're going to be a slave to, that decision is going to be made for you. whether you like it or not. Whoever you obey will be who your master is. It goes on to say, thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey his teaching we have given you. Now you are free from slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. We are free from the slavery of sin. Probably this point here would be the thing that if I think about when I was praying about what I wanted to preach about, what God, what did you want me to share with your people this morning? And this is one of the key parts right here. You are free from the sin and the past mistakes. I think for too long the devil's done an amazing job at holding people back from the past sins of slavery. But no, here it says you are free from your slavery to sin. You've become slaves to righteous living. God wants you to rise above. He wants you to break through the past. He wants you to break through the sin and the things that are holding you back. And it says, because of your weakness, of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves of righteousness living, so you will become holy. It is your decision. You must give yourself. You must decide. We need to decide whether we're going to be slaves and keep ourselves back, or we're going to be slaves to righteous living. I want to be a church where, do you know what, our decision-making is built around what is it God wants for this church? What is it God wants for my life? Not what is it I want to achieve? What is it I want to do? It's, no, God, what do you want for me? God, what is it you want for the future? What God, what is it you even want for this church? I mean, it's God's church, right? It's not mine. It's not Pastor Robin and Vic's. It's God's church. We can be a slave to our own agenda, or we can be a slave to him. Ephesians 6 says, not by way of eye service as men pleases, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. He wants us to be slaves of Christ, doing God's will from our heart. The next verse, verse 20 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. Isn't that some bizarre cycle? That we end up getting so ashamed that that we get stuck. Get stuck in that. But, again, we need to remember the result of the past bad decisions. I think of myself as a teenager and during the high school, I got myself a girlfriend, as teenage blokes like to do. And, you know, the bizarre thing was is that through that relationship, I knew it was not right, but I wanted it to be right. And then the relationship, as you'd imagine, got toxic, not because of her fault, not because of my fault, it's just we were not compatible together, right? It was two and a bit years we were together, and after about a week or so of breaking up, it's funny again how I forgot all of a sudden all the bad things that were in that relationship. Your mind started playing tricks on you where you'd go, well, it wasn't that bad. Life with her, I was happier then than what I am right now. And it's the same thing I feel like in our lives with sin and our past, that we can get back to that point if we're not careful. But we need to remember, do you know what? Life before Christ was that bad. You know, that feeling of hopelessness, that feeling of not being in control, not reaching the potential, not being so striving for things that are so meaningless. But with Christ, we have direction, we have hope, we have a future. Verse 22 says, but now you are free from the power of sin, and you've become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life, for the wages of sin are death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Freedom through slavery. Isn't that an amazing thought? I love when I travel, sitting in an airport and watch people. Kind of sounds creepy actually when I say it out loud like that. But do you know what? You see people just hustle and bustling through, and you know, you'll see the guy with, you know, you can tell by the way he's dressed, the money that he must have backing up behind him. You see the nice watch, and you'll see people rushing through. Then you'll see that poor lady with the three kids running behind with the bags, trying to get to the airport terminal. And the thing is, you just see people for people when you stop and actually just watch them. And you go, the guy with the nice suit, the nice watch, you don't know what pain they're sitting in. You don't understand what that success has cost them. But we have the ability to have freedom through slavery. We have the ability, rather than being on the rat race of running around frantically trying to get from one place to another, we can have freedom through the slavery. 1 Corinthians 7:22 says, "And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you're now free in the Lord. If you were free when the Lord called you, you're now a slave of Christ." You're a slave of Christ. I was reading an author, Mark Ward, and I think he puts it really well when he says, "Only when someone is completely submitted and even chained to Christ is he truly free." Only when someone is completely submitted, even chained to Christ, is he truly free. On one hand, through grace and Christ dying for us, we have this radical love, this radical grace, and radical freedom. But for that to be embodied in its fullness, we need to be able to die to ourselves and be slaves to Christ. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters." Who is your master? Is it yourself? Are you failing at that? Is it the circumstances around you? Are you being a slave to money? Or are you trusting and walking in God's plan for your financial situation? Are you being a slave to the stuff? All these things you just want to be able to get, a little bit like me with the wanting to get the latest car, Dodge Nitro. Are you chasing the latest iPhone, car, house, designer, something? Or are you just living in the freedom that know that, you know what? God's going to meet your every need. And he is enough for you. Are you being a slave to image? We live in an image-driven world. Are you dressing a certain way, posing for a picture, trying to dress in some way to give that facade of the way that you want to be presented? Or are you looking at your image through Jesus' eyes and the way that he sees you and the way that God's made you just to be the way you are? Are you being a slave to your mind? Are you allowing your thoughts to take bondage over you? Or are you letting Christ be that ultimate peace in your mind and that clarity and giving you that sound mind? Are you being a slave to what people think? Or are you being a slave to what Christ thinks of you? I think one of the most interesting things I've seen in late of social media is that people that are quite emotional with some type of a point of something, as long as they're emotional in the way that they present it, they seem to get traction on social media. It's quite an interesting thing watching. Which made me just think, you know what? People can be a slave to their emotions. So are you being a slave to your emotions? Or are you, do you know what, rather than basing your decisions on your emotion? Are you basing your decisions and being a slave to God's word? Are you being a slave to social media, Facebook, Instagram? I won't say Twitter, because who would be a slave to Twitter? But are you being a slave to social media? Or are you trying to live in God's word? Are you being a slave to technology? Having to check your phone? I have to keep myself on check on this one. Wanting to watch Netflix? Play around on the laptop, computer, game? Or again, are we living in God's word or living in prayer? Another one I need to keep myself in check with. Am I a slave to work? Are you a slave to work? Are you living to be able to just go to work, be successful, get that money in? Or are you going, no, you what, God? Work's work, but I know you're in control. Are you a slave to the circumstances? You may not have found yourself in it. You may not have made the decision to find yourself in it, but you're in it. There's circumstances around you. Are you letting your circumstances dictate you? Or are you trusting God in your situation? I want to be a slave to God. The decisions I make, I want to be made and going, do you know what, God? What is it you want for my life? God, what is it you want for your church? To me, that is the way we need to live. That is how we're going to experience true freedom, is by living with Him in mind. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not always the best decision maker. You're laughing at Robert. I'm not, right? And I haven't got the full picture to be a good decision maker. So I can either go about it my own way with part of the picture, with the little bits and pieces I can see with my emotions and my inadequacies as a man, or I can rely on God, on the other hand, who knows everything. He built me. He designed me. He gave me this annoying personality. But you know what? God knows how to draw the most out of me. He knows how to get the best potential so that I can hopefully get more people transformed and saved by through Him. But only He knows that. And it's only if I align my life with Him can I reach that potential. Likewise, that's for you. You can either try go by your own decisions, your own emotions, what you think's right for you, or you can try turn to God through prayer, through just meditating on His word, through praying with like-minded Christians who are Holy Spirit-filled and going, you know what? What is it God wants for my life? I want to be a church that's full of people being slaves to Christ. The thing is, it's a decision. It is a decision. A decision that I don't always get right, and I'm going to go on a hunch here and go, you probably don't always get right. But nevertheless, it's a decision. My goodness, what would we look like as a church if that was a foundation of God? Am I living as a slave to Christ? Do you know, the more I've let go of what I want, the more I feel freer. The more I feel like I'm walking in God's destiny. The more that I feel like I know where I'm going. I don't feel lost. I don't feel threatened. I don't feel like I've got to have this. I've got to have this. Yes, I've got to keep myself in check. But I tell you what, the more I align myself with God, the more freer I feel. When I asked Christ into my life, I can't say I had the full picture. You know, I knew I was broken. I knew I had made some bad decisions. I grew up as a Christian, so I knew a lot about God's word. But I didn't really know God. And the thing is, I gave my life to God, but I don't think I fully submitted my life to God. It's probably more as I feel like I've matured. Yes, Robin, I've matured. That I feel like I've been able to start to align myself and submit myself to God's life. And perhaps this morning, you've done something similar, where, you know what? You gave your life to God. And you haven't quite fully submitted everything to Him. Or perhaps you've never given your life to God. You've actually never made that decision to go, I just can't do it on my own. You know what? I look around and go, man, people are just hurting. You know, trying to strive to get the latest of this. I mean, it's an impossible mandate that probably majority of society will never achieve to get everything that it is they want and never hit full fulfillment of happiness. But through Christ, that's actually possible to actually get that full fulfillment and happiness in serving Him. And perhaps it's time to give up trying to do it on your own. And actually to go, do you know what? Yeah, I'm a pretty bad decision maker. I make some pretty average decisions and I'm tired of doing it on my own. But I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go give Christ a go. I'm going to submit my life to Him. It's kind of an odd thing, but I'd like to invite you all to die to yourself, your own agenda, your own desires, and give your life over to Jesus. You know, the last verse of what I read is that the wages of sin is death. If you don't choose your master will be decided for you. Whether you decide to live in sin or not, if you're not making a decision, chances are you're going to end up living in sin. And unfortunately, the wages of sin is death. But, and I love the buts in God's word, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is hope. There is freedom through Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.